Welcome, Deep Divers. Today we're taking a look at something a little different.
Yeah, definitely unconventional.
We're pulling insights from an online blog. It's called Another Week, and it's by a writer named Mark Cherniuk.
Right.
And our mission really is to explore how one person sort of navigates, well, everything that's going on, personally, globally.
All through this, like, online journal he keeps.
Exactly. And our sources are straight from the blog itself, the About section, post titles, dates, excerpts.
So we're getting it direct from the source.
We are. And, this isn't just any blog. It didn't just pop up randomly.
No, it has quite an origin story, actually.
It really does. It started as a very deliberate, kind of powerful response to shifts in the digital world. Let's get into that.
Okay.
So Mark Cherniuk launched Another Week right on January 1st, 2023.
Yep, start of the year.
But the why is interesting. What made him create his own space online instead of just, using what's already there?
Well, the backstory tells you a lot.
It does. He actually quit Twitter back in April 2022. That was right after the Elon Musk acquisition.
And he was quite clear about why, wasn't
Oh, very.
he? Yeah.
He explicitly said he wanted no part of creating content for a platform owned by Elon Musk. Pretty direct.
Wow.
And just to add to that, he also left Facebook. He called it creative servitude.
Creative servitude. That's a strong phrase.
It is. So he made this really conscious decision, almost defiant, you could say, to step away from those huge platforms.
And that's fascinating because it's not just, I need a break from social media.
No, it's more fundamental.
Right. It brings up this whole big question about digital autonomy, in the world we live in now.
How so?
Well, Cherniuk specifically decided, and he wrote this, to contribute my 2 cents on my own internet platform, this website.
His own platform.
Exactly. Moving from the big social media giants to a personal website, that's actually a really significant choice today.
What do you say significant?
Because think about it, so much of our online presence, our expression, it's filtered through algorithms,
Yeah.
corporate ownership.
Yeah, that's true.
So choosing to build and run your own digital space, it's more than just posting somewhere else. It feels like reclaiming some control.
Control over your own voice online.
Yeah, agency over your digital identity. Creating a space where, algorithms aren't calling all the shots, and maybe the speed of social media doesn't kill deeper reflection.
So it's like a deliberate act of independence online.
Digital sovereignty, maybe. Putting the individual back in the driver's seat. It's quite a statement.
A digital declaration of independence. I like that. Okay, so he builds this online fort, so to speak. What happens inside it?
Right. What's the actual content?
And how does this really personal space become maybe a window into something bigger?
Well, once he set up this independent site, the format became pretty clear. Another week.
Every single week, he posts an update, and it's filled with, as he puts it, assorted items that I've encountered over the previous 7 days.
And the list is broad.
Oh, yeah. Movies, TV shows, songs, books, websites, products, news stories, whatever.
Ha, whatever.
That whatever is key, I think. It's incredibly eclectic and, as you'd guess, deeply personal.
And that whatever approach, it creates this really unique record, doesn't it? It
Yeah.
feels unfiltered.
Very.
And if you think bigger picture, it gives you this real-time snapshot of how someone's personal life is constantly mixing with, well, everything else.
Yeah.
Culture, politics.
You get insights into how one person is processing the world, right? Not just the massive headlines, but the small stuff too.
Everyday moments, yeah,
Oh.
all woven together. There's no neat separation, like here's my personal life, here's the news.
It's all just life.
Exactly. It shows how we actually make sense of these huge global things, not in some vacuum, but through our own daily lives. Grief, gardening, whatever it is.
It's not just a log, it's more like a way of
Yeah.
processing all the chaos.
Yeah, like a blueprint for processing it.
Now, beyond the sort of cultural bits and daily thoughts, what really jumped out at me diving into Another Week was the raw honesty of his personal stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
This blog isn't just commentary or reviews, it's a chronicle of major life events, some incredibly personal, some global, and he just lays it all out there.
Sometimes devastatingly intimate.
Yeah. For instance, week 8, he wrote about his youngest sister, Lori, dying from leukemia, just right there in the weekly posts.
That's incredibly tough to share.
Then, week 23, they get the news. His wife's breast cancer had metastasized. to her meninges, crushing news.
Oh, wow.
Just a few weeks later, week 35, he writes about taking their last walk together.
The finality of that.
And then, tragically, in week 56, he shares that his wife, Amy, died.
These huge moments of personal grief, just documented week by week.
Put out there for anyone to read. It's incredibly vulnerable.
And what's so striking, I think, is how these intensely personal things are happening right alongside everything else going on in the world. There's no neat dividing line in his writing.
Right. He doesn't seem to separate his grief from the daily news feed or just everyday observations.
It's all mixed together. Like you mentioned week 8, the loss of his sister.
Mm.
But earlier, week 4, he's talking about using AI to illustrate a Bob Dylan song.
Yeah, that contrast. Technology, art, then deep loss.
Or later, week 79, he makes an observation about Joe Biden looking completely lost in a presidential debate. Just states it.
A political observation amidst everything else.
And then week 98, he records this huge event. Donald J. Trump getting elected president again.
Yeah.
And his reaction sounds very raw, very direct.
Just states the fact and his feeling about it.
And then, almost casually, in week 113, he mentions a house exploding a few blocks away.
Whoa.
It's a constant blend, isn't it? Personal tragedy, tech stuff, politics, local incidents, all unfiltered.
It really makes you think about how we all live through these dual realities simultaneously, doesn't it? The intensely personal and the overwhelmingly public.
Absolutely. It feels very real.
It does. And what's also striking is how he weaves in his own sometimes fiercely personal opinions, especially about politics, right alongside those everyday things.
He doesn't hold back there either.
No. Like in post number 138, this is August 2025, he writes, and this is a direct quote, "Whatever we thought America was, getting rid of it only took a few quick months."
That's a heavy statement.
Very. And he mentions that right next to talking about the podcast Song Exploder and a Trump-Putin summit, it shows how easily he mixes the profound with the, well, the everyday cultural intake.
And you see that pattern across many entries, right? Drawing connections constantly.
Definitely. He tracks things like the weather, Canadian wildfire smoke, heat waves, that heavy Milwaukee rain.
Yeah, I saw those. And gardening, too. Mentions of bee balm or agastache.
Yeah.
Very specific, grounded stuff.
Right. And then there's his cultural diet. Watching old movies like The Lady Vanishes or National Velvet, but also South Park.
And podcasts, Marc Maron ending WTF, Jason Isbell and Fresh Air. A real mix.
But then, with the same sort of weight, he dives into really critical political commentary.
Yeah. You mentioned some examples. He uses pretty blunt language.
He does. He talks about Trump-Epstein horseshit, the Gaza starvation situation. He ponders Elon Musk potentially saving public broadcasting, which is an interesting thought.
That is an interesting one.
And Benjamin Netanyahu, quote, "dancing Trump into war with Iran." He describes Trump's grift tour, Trump playing with the levers of power.
And ultimately concluding, Trump drives America straight into a ditch. He's not mincing words.
Not at all. He puts these strong critical views out there, regardless of how people might react.
And it's not just the big national or global picture either, is it? He includes local stuff, too.
Exactly. A birthday party at Camp Lake, some redesign plans for Petrifying Springs, noise complaints on the 4th of July.
His mom's 90th birthday celebration.
Right. And even noting Elon Musk losing a local spring election in Wisconsin.
Huh. So it really spans everything from a hyper-local to the global stage.
A microcosm of his world, yeah. Micro to macro, no filter applied.
Okay, so bringing this all together for us, for you listening, what does this all add up to?
Yeah, what's the takeaway? How does this seemingly random collection of deep grief, political anger, everyday stuff, how does that offer a useful perspective on life right now?
Well, I think the blog really functions on two levels. It's a deeply personal archives, obviously.
For him, yeah.
But it's also, I think, a method, a way of processing just the sheer volume of information and experience we all face.
It's not just reporting what happened.
No, it's about reflecting on how it feels to live through it. He mixes the mundane, you know, gardening, music, old movies, sports.
With these enormous national events and, of course, his own devastating personal losses.
It feels like an authentic human experience captured in almost real time without the usual filters or, you know, the performance of social media.
Right. No algorithms shaping it for engagement.
Exactly. And in that raw honesty, maybe we find something quite insightful about just the human condition today.
And I think that's the value for you, the listener. It's this unfiltered look into one person's reality.
It gives you these really intimate insights into how someone tries to navigate both private sorrow and public chaos.
And it shows one way, his way, of expressing oneself authentically, trying to make sense of it all in this often confusing digital world.
It feels like a testament to the power of just telling your own story, doesn't it?
Yeah, the individual voice. A reminder that even when things feel overwhelming, our personal stories can still provide some kind of anchor, some meaning.
So another week, Mark Chernick's blog. It really stands as this powerful example of personal narrative in an age drowning in information.
It shows how one person, by basically taking back control of his own little corner of the internet, grapples with a world that feels incredibly complex, often chaotic.
Blending the intensely personal with the unavoidably public.
Which really leads to a final thought, maybe a question for all of us, for you listening. In this era where huge platforms often shape how we express ourselves and our attention is basically the product, what does it actually mean to own your story, to own your voice?
That's a big question.
It is. How do you curate and reflect on the another week of your own life? How do you balance the deeply personal stuff with that constant stream of public events? What would your another week blog look like if you wrote one?
Something to definitely think about.